Welcome to the program Study in the Chapel. God's Word is supreme at Chapel Ministries. We consider it absolutely essential to a proper relationship with God. We study it, we love it, we rely on it every minute of every day. The following program is an edited recording of the regular Bible studies we hold, and we decided to share these with you in the hope that you too will be able to find inspiration, encouragement, and ultimately salvation through discovering Christ in Scripture. Our intention is to travel all the way through the Bible. It will be a challenging journey, but one that will undoubtedly bring you to a decision. Through this study, you will be faced with either believing or rejecting what God has said to us. It is our intention to provide you with enough knowledge to make an informed decision about God and His Word. We strongly encourage you to listen intently and diligently, because though at the moment you may not realize it, these things are truly a matter of life and death. In fact, these are matters of eternal life and eternal death. Never treat what God has said lightly. There is truly nothing more important to you. Now, join us as we seek God's will through His inspired Word.
All right, so we are back in our letter to the Ephesians study. We've been here a while, as I say, every week. I'm looking right now at the rest of chapter 6. It doesn't seem like we have a whole lot left, but we do. It's stuff that's very important. It's going to take us a little bit of time to get through. I do want you to realize, those of you that are looking at the video, this looks like a little bit of a different environment for us. We're actually in a hotel room. I am at a conference, and we decided to go ahead and have our Bible study. Anyways, it looks a little bit weird in the background, but hopefully we'll get into it and you won't even notice that. But I do ask for your indulgence, because this is a little bit of a different environment. This isn't our technology. This is someone else's technology. And my mind, sometimes I need to have like this habitual environment around me. This is different. So I may not be as smooth as usual. I'm sure you have your own thoughts on that. But anyways, I will do my best as we move on through this. We are in the letter to the Ephesians. As I said, we are in chapter 6. What I'm going to do is start at verse 1. We're going to read down to the verse that we are going to cover for tonight. You may think we're sort of bogged down, but the things we're talking about are of immense importance to us as the church. So we still have a lot of stuff to cover in the few verses that we've been on for the last few weeks. So here we go. I'm going to read from the King James, starting at verse 1 of the 6th chapter of Ephesians. Please follow along if you can in your Bible. I always say the same thing. Please make sure that you bring a Bible along with you when you join us in our studies in whatever book that we're in, because it's important that you follow along. And as I said before, sometimes you're going to want to kind of flip the pages back and forth. And when you do that, you know, that way you can discover this for yourself. You're not just waiting for me to give you something neat and fun. So here we go. Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart. We should all go through life with singleness of our hearts as unto Christ. Everything that we do, we should do as unto Christ. Still speaking to the servants, Paul is, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. If we realize that everything that we do is to glorify God, then that sort of makes some of the mundane tasks of our lives a little bit easier to take, and we seem to attack them a little bit better with a little bit more enthusiasm, knowing that they are doing something for the church and something for our Lord. Verse 8, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. This is where we're going to pick it up for tonight. As I said, we've been on these few verses for quite a while, but we're passing through. These things are important. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, as that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Why is Paul going to so much trouble to scare us? Listen, Paul is not trying to scare anyone, but to be honest, I will say that there is some value in fear. If being afraid causes you to pay closer attention to your surroundings, then so be it. You see, when we're frightened, we do one of two things. We either panic or we prepare. But again, let me be clear. Paul isn't trying to scare anyone. He's simply laying out truth. Let me remind you one more time of Paul's intention in this letter. He's trying to rally the church. He's trying to protect the church. He's trying to inform the church of its responsibilities and its liabilities. He has spent a great deal of time preparing the congregations that Jesus called together so that they can be effective in performing the Great Commission, as theologians have called it. What is the Great Commission, you may ask? Well, it's our assignment from the Lord himself. And we can find it word for word in the Gospel of Matthew. In this ministry, we talk a lot about the so-called Great Commission. This is what we've been saved for. We can find it, as I said, in the book of Matthew. Let me read it to you. Verse 19 of the 28th chapter. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. This is what we are to do. This is our assignment. This is Jesus speaking, telling us what we are to do. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Though that sounds lovely, it is an assignment fraught with danger. And if your pastors and your teachers and your priests are not telling you that, then they are committing what I said before is spiritual malpractice. They are not helping you if they're not telling you that there is danger in this assignment. And you know, thus far, Paul has spent a lot of time convincing us of all this danger. Remember in chapter 4, verse 17, Paul was warning us about the danger of backsliding. He said, henceforth, walk not as other Gentiles walk. Don't succumb to the temptation of going back to your old ways. We've been called out of those things. It's time to make sure we close the door permanently on our past, because if we don't, we'll find ourselves in danger. That would be dangerous if we fell back into our old ways. And then there's the danger of the breakdown in the family unit. Paul spent a lot of time talking about that danger. If the family unit breaks down, then that could ultimately lead to the breakdown in the church. These are the dangers that Paul is bringing forward to us. There's the danger of treating one another contemptuously. On that point, Paul is very explicit. We covered that already as we've done all of this in chapter 4, verse 31, but let me read it for you. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Why, Paul? Because that's dangerous. because those things weaken the church. All of these things hamper the effectiveness of the church. That's why Paul is warning us about these, what I'll call internal threats. But there's more, much more. Here in chapter 6, starting at verse 10, Paul is taking time to make us aware of the external threats. And believe me, they're just as dangerous. They're just as dangerous as the internal threats. But he's not bringing up all of these things just to spin an eerie ghost story. There's a purpose behind this list of frightening forces that we just read, those forces that are arrayed against us. Paul wants us to be aware of these threats so that we realize that our only hope of protection lies with God. As I said last time, in this war, there is no neutrality. Either you are a victim of the war or you're a soldier in it. We're still working these things out. So let's get back to it. Verse 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, in the very next verse, Paul gets quite specific, symbolic, but specific. But before we get into that, which will be next week, we still have some things to talk about this week with regards to verse 13. Let's read it again. Wherefore, or therefore, remember we said King James language, they use the word therefore. It's Old English. It's Elizabethan English. It is the way things used to be. Not, they used to say, wherefore, we say, therefore now, or because of all of this, because of all of the scary things that Paul mentioned, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, the first thing that I hope you'll notice is that this is purely a statement regarding defense. And I've brought this up several times. I'm going to continue to bring it up. All God expects us to do is to stand our ground. He's not calling us, nor is he equipping us to go on the offensive. The weapons he's providing us, the ones we will talk about in a future lesson, all of those weapons are not attack weapons, they're defense weapons. We are not a part of the strike force. Not a one of us is going to vanquish anyone in this war. We're not a part of the rapid response team, the vanguard. None of us are leading the charge. All we're doing, all we're expected to do, is put up a good defense. We're to hold the line, if you will. And listen, that's going to be tough enough. Leave the offense to someone who has hope of gaining ground. And to be honest, let me tell you, that's really an army of one. Remember, the U.S. Army used to say, be an army of one. There really is only an army of one in this war, and that's Jesus himself. He's going to be the one who will go on the attack, but not quite yet. There's still some work to be done here. So in the meantime, we are to be on the defensive. Now, I do believe, let me say, that we will be in a support role in those offensive battles, but rest assured, he's going to be the one to receive the victorious crown, because he's going to be the one that's victorious. Now, the second thing I hope you'll notice, remember the first thing was that what we're talking about here is defensive posture. That's the first thing. The second thing I hope you'll notice, maybe this one is tied with the first one. It's a first place tie because it's important, just as important as the other one. Anyhow, let me say equally next. The equally next thing I want you to notice is that Paul is actually repeating himself. For the second time in three verses, Paul is repeating the statement about receiving the armor of God. God is being repetitive here. Dr. Gene Scott used to say that you could build a doctrine on God's repeatables. Every time God says something over and over, we should be paying extra attention. Listen, we should pay attention to everything God says, but when God repeats himself, lean in a little bit harder, because he's got something very, very important for you to hear. Here, Paul is telling us about that armor, and he's repeating himself. He's pointing to God's provision for defense, and he's repeating himself. And listen, it's no accident that this repetition comes so close to his thoughts on the enormity and fierceness of our enemies. Remember all the enemies we listed in the previous, or all the enemies that were listed in the previous verses. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle against all of the principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness, all of that. As soon as Paul mentions that, he repeats this idea that we are to take up the armor of God. That's no accident. Now, I can't tell if this was the result of Paul's mind drifting out of concern for his beloved congregations, or he's repeating himself purposely for emphasis. Perhaps he's trying to clear the potential fear away from the minds of those that are reading this letter, or simply to highlight the great need we have for protection. Either way, he's saying the same thing over and over, and we shouldn't miss it. Wherefore, or therefore, because of all those things that came before, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, I love Paul the teacher. He takes every opportunity that comes his way to teach, even at the risk of being tedious. Here, the King James says that Paul says for us to take unto us this armor. Well, the better translation is to take up. The original word in the Greek is analambano. Now, for you regulars, this is a bit of a review. Analambano is a compound Greek word. You remember what a compound word is? It's a word that's made up of more than one word, two or more words. In this case, it's two words. Analambano consists of the word ana, which means up, and the word lambano, which means to receive. Now, here's the subtle point of what Paul is trying to say, the reason why he used this word. Now, we can be certain that he chose this word purposely because it's packed with meaning, like so many Greek words, but this one is packed with meaning, and it falls perfectly into the theme of this section. Lambano communicates the idea, listen to me very closely, lambano communicates the idea of taking from someone else, taking something from someone else. This isn't something that originated with you. That's why it's important to go to the Greek, because this word means specifically, it has a specific meaning, meaning when you're not just taking it, you're taking it from someone. It's important for you to know that. This isn't something you came up with. Paul wants to make darn sure that you know that the origin of this armor is not with you. This is God's armor. You aren't taking up your own armor. Why is he hammering away at this? Human beings don't like to take help from anyone. We want to be the one in the end who can stand up and brag about the victory. Well, if you do that, you're going to be nothing but a pile of ashes. And Paul is trying to tell you, don't bring your own weapons. And he's telling you in several different ways. This isn't armor you brought with you. This isn't even armor you found sitting by the side of the road. You didn't dumpster dive for these weapons. This is an Excalibur that you drew from the stone. You didn't happen upon a weapon hoard. That's why the English word take is not really a very good translation. Receive works better because it implies a passive acquisition from an external source like the original Greek word did. It's a definite exchange, a planned receiving. This was no accident. It was intentional. It was being handed to you purposely. You didn't by accident just, oh, look, there's a shield. Oh, look, there's a helmet. It isn't like that. This is being handed to you specifically from God. So that's the lambano part of the word. Very important for you to realize that this term is purposely used, so you get the point that you have to get this armor from somewhere other than your own garage. This isn't sitting in your storage unit somewhere. Paul is not going to take any chances here, so he's deliberately using phrases and words and imagery so that you understand this is something you must receive. This is God's armor, not yours. Leave whatever you have back at the house. You know, when Samantha was in kindergarten, the school administered a rudimentary eye exam for all the students. And in that examination, the doctor noticed that little Sammy had some difficulty seeing properly. Remember, she's just in kindergarten. Thank God for the New York Public Schools, because they then recommended, based on that test, that she go see an optometrist who could determine what and if there was a problem. Well, sure enough, Sammy did have a condition that could have potentially compromised her eyesight very definitely. The exam was a blessing because that wonderful eye doctor that we were directed to treated my little girl for years, even long after we left Brooklyn. Now, the treatment, of course, was successful, but it had a long-term result. And that long-term result, the condition of the condition that she had, meant that she had to wear glasses for the rest of her life. Now, let me ask you, do you know any kid who's worn glasses from an early age? Well, one of the defining characteristics of an adolescent who has is grimy lenses, grimy glasses. Let me tell you, Sammy would come in from playing or come home from school, and those glasses would be caked in dirt and filth, and that would drive Catherine crazy. Mommy would be constantly cleaning Sammy's glasses. Finally, Catherine gave Sam her own glasses cleaning cloth. Catherine handed the cloth to Sam, and Sam took it, but she didn't take it up. Probably to this day, if you could find Sam's middle school backpack, at the bottom would be that very same glasses cleaning cloth, unused, I guarantee it. She took it, but she didn't take it up. There's a difference between taking something and taking something up. Wherefore, take unto you. In other words, take up the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Don't just receive that armor. Take it up and use it. Those of you that join us on this Bible study regularly, don't just sit there passively and receive it. Use what you're learning. That's why it's there. That's why Paul wrote it. This isn't gee whiz information. This is armor. And armor is meant to be worn and used. That's the point of this whole discourse. It's one thing to receive a gift. It's a whole other thing to receive a gift and use it. Listen, you Ephesians, take unto you, receive unto you the armor God has provided you and use it. That's what Paul is saying. Because if you use it, you're going to be able to withstand in the evil day. That's why it's given to you. That's why it's provided for you. That's why it's very specific weapons. The purpose of that armor you received is for you to use so you can hold your ground. You have been ordered by the commander to hold your ground, and here's how you're going to do it. Here are the weapons you are to use. This is not a passive Bible study. This is active. Nothing in God's word is passive. It's not just for your entertainment. It's for your use. Paul knows that the enemy is gathering his forces outside the walls of the churches that he founded, and he's concerned that all the work he's done, all the work that Christ has done, is in jeopardy. And by the way, we're still in the same jeopardy today. That's not going away. The victories haven't been won yet. You don't have an opportunity to set your armor down because the war is still raging. It's still on a lambano. You are still to take it up. There's no way that we have time to rest. Throughout this letter, Paul keeps going back to the fact that there is a tremendous evil effort afoot to get those Ephesians back into their old ways, to keep them, that evil wants them to go back to their old ways. Paul knows that, and he's saying, be smart. You have to learn to withstand. Take the armor that God has given you. The church is under constant threat. The world and the flesh and the devil are trying to destroy the Ephesian church, and Paul is saying now is the time to take up the armor of God. Now, remember the word ana that we said was in the word analambano? The King James translates analambano as take unto you. Well, as I said, ana means up, but in the sense of stand up or set up. Listen, Ephesians, don't leave that armor sitting on the ground at your feet. Put it in the ready position. Put the armor on. Flip the switch. Flip the power switch. Make sure it's ready. Not even in standby. It's got to be ready because you're going to need it if you hope to be able to withstand in the evil day. Wherefore, take unto you, take up, put on, make ready the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Sam, that cleaning cloth is not doing you any good in your bottom drawer. Mommy gave it to you. You received it from her, but you're not using it. How do you expect to get the most out of those glasses if you don't use what's been given to you to make that possible? Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Listen, once again, let me tell you, I told you I was going to repeat this. No one in the heavenly realm expects us humans to pull off any sort of victory here. We're not equipped. And more importantly, it's not our job. Christ will be the victor in this war. So all God is expecting from you, all God is commanding you to do, is to withstand. The armor he's given you will not win the battle, but with it, you will be able to hold your ground. Assume your role. Make sure you understand what God is calling you to do and feel blessed for it. Now, the imagery of holding your ground comes up a few times in these verses. If it isn't obvious yet, by the way, it's going to be. The Christian life is not an easy one. You will have your challenges. In fact, you'll have your mighty challenges. And you're going to want to give up, but don't. The armor of God has given us, the armor that God has given us will protect us. Make sure that it's standing ready for battle. Here, God is promising you that you will not be defeated. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. That's a promise. God has made you a promise. He said, with that armor, you will be able to withstand, and having done all, to stand. Listen, I've said to you over the last few weeks, some of this stuff is kind of scary. Well, what we're going to do is be able to take up this armor and protect ourselves. And if you believe in God and you believe he's powerful, that armor will protect you against all those scary things that are listed here in Ephesians chapter 6. But the imagery is obvious, even in the English. We will take a beating, but we won't be beat. You know why? Because God has given us a guarantee. He said, I guarantee that if you take up unto you the armor I've given you, you will be able to hold on. Well, no, wait a minute, John. You added a word there. I don't see God saying anything about a guarantee. When God says it, that's your guarantee. Back in the book of Jeremiah, God tells us, I will hasten my word to perform it. That can be more literally translated. I will watch over my word to perform it. To bring it even closer home, it's like God is saying, I will supervise the things I've said. I'm in charge of what I said, and I will make sure it happens. Once it comes out of God's mouth, it has an impact on his glory. And there is nothing more important to God than his glory. You may think you're important to him, but you're only important to God if you're going to bring him glory. So you better make sure you bring him glory. That will help to guarantee your survival. Therefore, he's going to see that whatever he says will happen because it will glorify him, and that's what's important to him. Back here in Ephesians, God is assuring us that when the evil day comes, which just means whatever days these battles come, which, by the way, if you're doing everything right, if you're living for God every day, if you're seeking him every day, seeking his glory daily, then your evil day will be every day. Come on, John, don't tell people like that. Don't tell stuff like that. Don't tell them that. That sort of stuff will cause them to tune you out. Well, I'm willing to risk that because, well, God's truth is too important to sugarcoat. By the way, do you think anyone told Jesus to shut up when he said stuff like, if ye were of the world would love his own, but because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you? Did anyone tell him to keep his mouth shut? You're going to scare everybody. They're not going to follow you if you say stuff like that. Do you think anyone said that to him? And if they did, do you think he listened to them? Did he react to that chastisement by keeping his mouth shut? Of course not. Listen, it's better that you know that there will be lots of evil days, because when they come, you'll be ready. You'll have that armor standing up nearby because somebody warned you. Paul warned you these evil days are coming, and they're coming every single day. So don't let that armor lay down. Don't put it in the pause position. Make sure it's ready all of the time. You'll have your armor standing by if you believe that those days are coming. You will be ready if you hear from someone that the evil days will be every day. Listen to me. Telling the truth keeps people prepared for the inevitable. God has given you armor, so use it. Well, we're still not finished with this very important section, but I think we're going to leave it there for tonight. More on this next time.
We hope this study has blessed you. God's Word is a great treasure, and it's our belief that a thorough, purposeful study of it will bring all of God's children to an understanding of His eternal plan of redemption. It is our prayer that this will be so for all of our listeners. Please join us again soon. New content is being added all the time, so make sure you check back often. For more information on Chapel Ministries, including our YouTube channel and podcasts, please visit www.chapelontheweb.com. And if God has laid it upon your heart to share materially with us, we encourage you to follow the links to our secure giving page. Please note, Chapel Ministries is not an IRS-registered nonprofit organization, and your donations to this program are not tax-deductible. It's our hope that you do not rely on taxing authorities to decide for you who is worthy of your generosity.